I'm very thankful for the song this morning. That is, and should be, each one of our desire today is to be more like the Lord and for the Lord to stamp His image on our heart. And that just that song, I did not ask them to sing that particular song, but it just goes along so well with the burden the Lord put on my heart. Lord's been dealing with me about a lot of different things, and so the challenge sometimes is, Lord, which message for this Sunday do you want? And the Lord kind of did a U-turn on me later on in the week, and so I want to be faithful to that. Title of the message this morning is Personal Protocol of Protection. Personal Protocol of Protection. Going to, for the purpose of the message this morning, set out some hand sanitizer. And I left my mask at home, but we've got some rubber gloves here, and I think that these are not an uncommon sight in our society right now. I think that we would not disagree that we are living in some abnormal times. There have been a lot of changes in our society and in our world. People are not going to the places that they used to go. People are not doing the things that they used to do. Places that used to be a hive of activity are now silent. And because no one's there, the children are not at school. The ballparks and the stadiums are empty. The theaters sit vacant. Stillness rests over the shopping malls. The parking lots of the mega churches that were once packed are barren of vehicles. The playgrounds that used to be full of screaming, playing children are unoccupied. The airports that used to be teeming with people as they rush to and fro to get to their destinations is vastly different now because there's many fewer flights, and there's actually no one to compete for your space in the seat beside you now. There's no travel between many countries because many of them are under lockdown. They're not accepting visitors from other places. People are even starting to look a little bit different. Their hair is turning its natural color. Where one time it seemed odd to see someone wearing a face mask, just a few months ago, every once in a while, especially in the airports, you might see someone from another country wearing a face mask, and it always looked a little different. You know, they must be sick. Well, it's now commonplace. And sometimes I have a pack of gloves in my car, and sometimes I don't always, but sometimes if I pump gas or in certain situations when I'm going in to get groceries in the grocery store, I'll put on at least one glove and use that when I'm touching the credit card reader or the debit card reader to pay or maybe to touch different products. And so I'll have some protection on one of my hands. And the thing is, people aren't looking at me strangely. And the reason is because most likely they're wearing a glove too. So there's kind of becoming this new normal. People are spread out now. Where one time when we would see people, you shook hands, maybe give them a hug. Today we're standing 6 feet apart and nodding at one another. Greeting from a distance in the store, there are markings in many stores now, and they have lines 6 feet apart. And so you don't have anybody bumping into you anymore from behind, pushing the line. Well, in the post office, in many of the cash registers in the stores, there's a plexiglass barrier between the clerk and the public. Some people have self-quarantined. They haven't gotten out of their houses since this change has been taking place. So the question this morning is, why the change? Because it isn't what it used to be. And if someone had been on a sea voyage or maybe had been on, say, an outer space without any news, and they came home, I think they would have some questions. They said, "What? People are looking different. What's going on? People aren't going the same places. They're not doing the same things. What's happening? And why aren't they going where they used to go?" So I think that fair questions deserve some fair answers. Some people don't like questions. Don't ask. Just accept. If I came and said, put on a glove, put hand sanitizer on, put on a face mask, you'd probably look at me and say, why? I want a reason. I think fair questions among God's people deserve some fair answers. Well, there is a cause for what's happening in our society today. There is a reason that people are wearing face masks. There is a reason why people are wearing gloves. There is a reason why people are using hand sanitizer. Well, I understand that the purpose and the effectiveness of some of these things is still debatable. And my purpose and burden this morning is not to debate the origins. It's not to get into a debate of whether we should do this or just be inundated and accept everything that's going on. And I know that there are some things that warrant some further investigation. We know that this morning. But we do know this. There have been tens of thousands of people that have died with coronavirus. You say, why the mask? Why the gloves? Why hand sanitizer? Because there is a virus in our society. And it's new, and people don't understand it. And so they are trying to follow a protocol of protection. Well, sadly enough, there have been many people that have died from it, to the point that even in some places you can't have a funeral service. You can't even get together to commemorate the life of the one. And so there is a protocol, and by definition, a protocol is a rule of conduct or a procedure, a code of behavior. It's propriety. There's a code of behavior. There are some ordinances in place. And we are following, and that's why this, what we call social distancing. Now, I think that term is going to be around a long time. I don't think people are going to keep following it, but I think the term will be used when you don't want to get too close to someone or something. I'm social distancing. I need my space. I think that's going to be around for a while. But there are some people that are following a protocol, and it is true that some will still get sick. All right? It is true that there will be some that will probably even die by following certain cautions and protocols. But there has been already in our society probably a lot of heartache spared because there was a protocol of protection. Whether you agree or disagree with the way our governments, city and federal, are handling these things, I do believe that it has spared some lives. People and states and countries are going to follow a protocol, as they are, until they get tired of it. Until they want to go back to normal life. And it is possible that sickness and death by COVID-19 will just become a new normal, just like the flu and just like pneumonia. If you look at stats, it can be a little interesting. It may become that this just becomes a way of life. Oh, they died with COVID-19. I'm sick with the coronavirus. That might just become a new normal. But I dare say we're already seeing, even when people are still getting sick, we're already seeing people getting tired of the protocol of protection. Because people are hurting financially. They're getting tired of not being able to meet together. So they're saying, you know what, we'll take the risk. Well, again, I am not here to debate the acceptable risk when it comes to the coronavirus, but there is a deeper virus or sickness that's in our world that I want to address this morning. There's going to come a time that we look back to this month and we say, do you remember when people were wearing gloves at the store? Do you remember when that you couldn't meet? You couldn't meet together. We couldn't have services. We couldn't even have a drive-in here in Springfield. There are some churches that are for the local congregation. I reinvestigated because the news is reporting other churches doing it. They're breaking the law. All right. Let me just make that clear. They're breaking the law here in Springfield. Now, other places, it might be all right. But here in Springfield, it is against the ordinance. So for the time being, we're following that ordinance. But there's already starting to be court cases on this issue. And it's already being taken to the courts, and we'll see what happens. But there's going to be, people are getting tired of distancing. They're getting tired because people are hurting from it. They don't like it anymore. So we're willing to take the risk to open the economy back up. We want the pleasures of life back. We want the ball, I'm not speaking personally, I'm speaking of our world. We want the ball games back. We want to go to where we used to go. Well, so then people are going to look back to this day and say, do you remember when they used to do that? And now sickness has just become a way of life, unless they find a cure, which they might. In his time, let me say this before we move on. People, there are going to be people in coming generations that won't remember this time. And if coronavirus is still becomes like the flu and like pneumonia, our children or the younger generation is going to say, you did what? You wore face masks to the store? You guys are crazy. You didn't have to do that. And at the same time, there might still be people that are dying from that virus. But now the normal is we don't do that anymore, where one time there was caution. Jesus, in his time on earth, used many practical examples of what was happening in society to teach a spiritual lesson. And the burden that I have on my heart this morning is that to share some very practical spiritual lessons. And again, every illustration is incomplete. It's not a perfect illustration, just like the parables, but they make a point. Well, my desire and prayer is this morning that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will just cause some things said this morning to begin to work in our minds and in our hearts. There is a virus in our world today that has taken the life of not just tens of thousands, but has taken the lives of millions of people, and that is sin. Uncleanness, disobedience to God, and sin is anything that separates us from having fellowship with God. And while they are seeking a vaccine and a cure to COVID-19, there is a cure for sin this morning, make no mistake, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a cure for sin. There is cleansing in the blood of Jesus. But even after we have been cleansed and we have been forgiven of our sin, the enemy is still trying to steal our peace. He's trying to steal our salvation. He's out to kill our spiritual life, and he's trying to destroy the fellowship that we have with God. And our world is contaminated with sin and uncleanness. And to have fellowship with God, there's something we're going to have, and it's called holiness. We're going to have holiness. Over in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I know there are many religions, there are many spiritual philosophies, but the scripture is clear this morning that without holiness, we will not see God. Coming to church, going to church services, having a good moral standard is not enough. Holiness, by definition, is something that is homogeneous. It's oneness. It's pure. It's clean. It's sanctified. In the King James, in the English, the word sanctify in many places is just the same Greek word for holy. So when we are sanctified, we are holy. We are pure. We have been set apart exclusively to the service of the Lord. So, what do? We may be virus free this morning, but do you know we still do use hand sanitizer? Because I want to keep virus free. We may be virus free this morning, but we still put on gloves sometimes. At least some people do. And they're the ones that are being safe. They're the ones that are being cautious because they value staying virus free. Again, you don't have to do this, but do you know when it comes to things spiritual, there are things the scripture tells us to do, and it is for the purpose of protecting our walk with God. So I said that fair questions deserve fair answers. I believe that when it comes to spiritual things. So people ask, why do you dress like you do? Why don't you go the places you used to go? Why don't you go over there? Why don't you participate in some of these activities? Why don't you have some of these things in your house? Can you not afford? Why don't you do some of these things? Why don't you watch some of those things? And why don't you live like you used to live? As children of God, we should never be threatened or feel put on the spot by fair questions for why do you do what you do? Well, in general, the reason why we live like we live is because, number one, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If there are things that are not clean and not pure, we cannot do those things and still walk with God. It's non-negotiable. Holiness is not something that there's just some little group over here that does this and doesn't do that. Holiness is a principle, and it actually means something to be exclusive in your life to the Lord. That, Lord, my love is not after the world. My love is for you. And so then, if there are things in the world that are drawing on my love and drawing on my affections, I want to practice some social distancing. I want to place distance between myself and those things that are not pure because I value my walk with God. Why do you do this? It goes way beyond because that's what the preacher said. It goes way beyond because that's what our church teaches or that's what they said 120 years ago. The reason why we live like we live is our pursuit of holiness in Jesus Christ because we value our walk with God. And at the beginning and at the end of the day, that is the reason why we make some of the personal decisions that we do. No one is forcing anyone to dress a certain way. Children, obey your parents and follow the protocols of your home. It'll cause your parents grief and you too. Obey your parents. But there's going to come a time when all of us make decisions on our own, but the Bible still teaches what it does. Be holy for He is holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Purity, cleanness. Well, holiness is a condition of heart. All right? Putting on gloves does not make me holy. Using this parallel. Putting hand sanitizer does do some cleansing. But you can dress up the sinner man and you can have them follow a set of rules and not go to this place and not have this in his home and not do that, and he'll still be a sinner because his heart's contaminated. But I will say, once that sinner has been washed in the blood of Jesus, my advice to them would be, as is the scripture, follow holiness. Pursue what is clean. You are a sinner. You did wrong. Don't go back to the things where you did wrong. Don't go back and hang around the people that drew you and enticed you to do sinful things. Don't watch things that are going to cause temptation to be exacerbated in your life, because now you have a walk with Jesus. So don't go back to the things the Lord delivered you from. Well, there are a number of scriptures and we're not going to expound on them, but I want to give us just a few of the protocols of protection from the scripture. Well, and the reason we do what we do is because we want to be pleasing to the Lord. If we are doing something just to fit into the crowd, we're not going to be happy about it. But when we recognize, I'm doing this because I love the Lord and because I want to protect what I have, the Lord will bless us in it, and it'll serve. There is a protocol of protection. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with what? With all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Is not that for our protection? Keep your heart with diligence. Be careful what you allow your heart to go out of. If you've been tied to the things of the world, then maybe you need to sever the things of the world. It does not change the heart. That comes by the grace of God in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I don't want to go back to the things that are going to draw me back to the sin. I don't want to go back. So keep your heart with all diligence. And when we do that, we're going to be different than the world. We're not going to go the same places. We're going to be putting into practice some social distancing. Because when I go there, it draws on something in me that takes me away from my walk with God. And so then if you do that too, and we have fellowship together, pretty soon now we have a little congregation, right? And what the world does, and what people that are kicking against the pricks does say, well, you're just doing that because your church teaches that. No, it goes way beyond that. It's because the Bible teaches us to keep our heart with all diligence. And when we watch what happens to people that go and do that, we see they get sick. It's like, I don't want to get sick. So then I want to keep my heart just like the protocol of Scripture says. It's for our protection to guard our walk with God. Follow after that which is wholesome. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly and not as fools but as wise. Do you know if you are working in a hospital, that's a good place to go minister to those that are sick? Jesus did that and he was called the friend of sinners. The Lord wants us to be a friend of sinners. God did not call us to isolate ourselves within four walls and quarantine ourselves spiritually within our homes. He told us to go into all the world. But he also prayed, and we're going to end there in a little bit, that we would be kept from the evil of the world. Which means that our job is to go out and take the gospel to show a better way, not to get down in the mud with them. Which means there's going to be, again, some protocols of protection. Walk wisely. The things you listen to, the things that you look at, the places you go. Be wise. How is it affecting your life? Do you feel close to God when you're in those places? Or do you just kind of feel a little lackadaisical and you feel like you're not quite as close to the Lord when you listen to that and go there and do that? 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let's not go to sleep. Well, we've been doing this for a while. I'm tired of hand sanitizer. I'm tired of the gloves. And frankly, you know what? I really don't wear them a whole lot. I don't like it. You know something? Gloves are going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But the reality is, that spiritually living a holy life is not always easy. But I will say this, it's a whole lot better than the alternative. It's a whole lot better than the alternative. Because there is a price to pay. It's inconvenient to put on gloves before you pump gas. But you start thinking about who all has been touching that, it'll make you want to start wearing gloves after a while. If you really follow that down, it'll make you not want to ever shake anybody's hands again. Hand me the sanitizer. But do you realize that the reality is that spiritually, where all these other things, the use of them may pass away, it's what's happened in many congregations and churches. I don't want to do that anymore. I want some of the things of this world. It will take a toll on us spiritually. We need to be steadfast in following the scriptural protocol of protection for living a holy life. Protect the vulnerable. Do you realize that maybe I may not be sick, but I may be a carrier? And I can say, well, I do that and it doesn't affect me, but when I watch others being affected by it spiritually, then I need to protect others that are vulnerable too. So if I say I can go there and I'm fine with it, I don't feel condemned, but what is it doing to the majority of the people that do that? If they're getting sick, then might it be that I could be a better example? Because I don't want to lead people to get sick. I don't want to lead them there. And the scripture also says, be not deceived that evil communication corrupts good manners. He's talking about who you fellowship with. He's talking about where you, he's not saying don't be a friend to sinners, but he's saying be careful because we are influenceable in young people and children. That's why your parents say be careful who you hang out with. Be careful that you're spending too much time with them. They're doing things that aren't right, and inevitably, what happens is people start following the crowd. And so he says, don't be deceived. We are all influenced. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness. You know, that's a protection. This is really, we say, well, is this negotiable? Well, the scripture says it. This is an ordinance. It's a protocol, but it's there to protect us. It's there to protect our relationship with God so we don't go back where we came from. You know why we have to flee youthful lust? One brother said years ago, still remember, he said, because you don't grow out of them. So you have to flee them. That's called social distancing. I'm going to put distance between myself and those things that I know are having an adverse effect on me spiritually. Be not conformed to this world. That's scripture, isn't it? Why? Because the things of this world are different than the things of God. And God is a holy God, and our world sure is not holy. So he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Titus 2:11 said, I was just wanting to give some scriptures that gave some protocol. You can study them later. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And this is what it does. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. See, we're separating ourselves. We're denying it. I'm not going to be part of it. We should live righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. If we are going to follow the Lord this morning, it is going to take holiness. Holiness is a condition of heart, but once we are holy on the inside, we need to guard what the Lord has done. We need to protect ourselves. There are people that have an up and down experience. It's because the Lord saves them, and then they go back to doing the very things that the Lord delivered them from. So that means we need to put in some practice personally in our lives, some protocols. So what about dress? Well, the scripture teaches to dress modestly. Folks, that's non-negotiable. Modesty, being decent, being covered. You study out the Greek for the sisters, that which is long and flowing. That's scripture. That's not just tradition. It's not just because they did it 100 years ago. There's scripture for it. But the essence, it comes down to this. How does this make me feel about myself? When I put this on, is there that humble Christ-like spirit? Am I trying to draw undue attention? Should a child of God be an object of lust by the way they dress? No. And so that means out of care and respect for one another, as well as for our own dignity and desire to please the Lord with the right spirit, for all of those reasons, that's why we dress like we dress. But no one's going around with a club enforcing it, because these are decisions that we have to start making personally. It's a personal protocol of decision. Now, yes, the scripture teaches what it does. That's non-negotiable. But whether or not we abide by it, it really is a personal decision this morning. So we live a holy life this morning, yes, because the Bible says it. But it is also true that not everything is spelled out in the scripture. All right? There are some things it says very clearly. There are principles that the scripture gives. So what do we do when the Bible doesn't spell everything out? You know, I mentioned some are having services today in this, in our city, and they're breaking the law. I don't think it makes them more spiritual for the present distress. If the purpose was to take away our religious freedoms, I would feel differently. But for a month, you know what? Can we set an example of obeying the laws of the land? If their motivation's right. Now, if it's wrong, then that starts calling some things into question. But I checked with the authorities, and I asked them this week. I said, why on the news are they almost acting like this is a really good thing? People had a drive-in service, and the governor said it's okay. And they said they either don't know or they're breaking the ordinance because this is what it is. All right? So what do we do when we don't know? You might say, well, I'm going to go ask the preacher. What am I supposed to do? Well, the preacher may or may not know, and some of them think they know, and maybe they don't know as much as sometimes they... So what do we do? Well, let's have a minister's meeting. So we'll call a minister's meeting, and we'll vote, and we'll make a list of rules that apply to every situation in our current society. And so some really like rules. Don't do this and do that. And so now I just go to the rule book. Now we have our Bible that's the Lord gave us, and then we can have some rules that men have come up with, and we just go look at our rule book. There it is. Some people really, they thrive with rules. Well, what are we going to do? Is that really the answer this morning? Rules to bind on people? The question is, when we begin to do that, is who are those rules for? Who do they apply to? Can I take that rule book to Pakistan? Will it still apply? Can I take that to all the different countries in Africa? Will it still apply? For how long does it last? If this is a rule, and this is what you have to do, how long does that rule last? Is it for 10 days? Is it kind of our government's, well, we'll do this for 3 weeks, and we'll kind of see how it goes. So then that means that rules are changing, and we have to try to keep figuring it out. Does it apply to the next generation? You know, the Scripture gives some do's and don'ts. Very clear do's and don'ts. Those are non-negotiable, and you know what? That lasts from generation to generation. Well, but it also is fine. It is easier sometimes to follow a rule than it is a principle. But here's the thing. The Lord gave us principles that address every need of every people, of every culture, of every generation. And I read just a few of those scriptures. I read just a few of them, and there's a whole lot more. A principle takes thought, and it takes consideration, and it takes prayer, and it takes investigation, and it takes responsibility, and it takes ownership. That now this is personal. The Bible teaches holiness and purity and fleeing and distancing. And Lord, what does that look like in the life of a Christian? The rules of men, I found, breed rebellion in some. They breed self-righteousness in others. And in others, there's kind of this herd mentality that just kind of follows the crowd. Well, the Lord has something better for us than that this morning. The Lord has something better. We're going to try to move along. I don't want to extend it too long, but I do want to share a few more things. This Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, all things are lawful. Now, we know he was not speaking against the things that are very clear that are wrong in the Scripture. But there are things that are lawful, but they're not expedient. And there are things that are lawful and they don't edify. So is it a rule? Is it a regulation? That's really the wrong question. If we value our walk with God this morning, we are personally, in our personal lives, going to be making decisions and choices that will protect the purity and the godliness and the holiness of Christ in us. Why? Because I want to be in the image of Christ, just like the special song said. I want His image to be on my life. And so then, if something is not edifying, cut it off. If it's hindering us spiritually, can we be spiritually mature enough? Just like Jesus said, if your hand offends you, He said, cut it off. And it's better to go through life lame to make it into heaven than to end up in hell with your whole body. That means if you see something is hindering you spiritually, there are some spiritual protocols, protection that the Lord wants us to put into place. There are going to be some minor differences between God's people. From place to place, from country to country, you will find the principles do not change. But I'm also more and more aware you find some people with a real mindset that I can do what I want and I can claim the principle. The principle, if the principle is worth anything, it's going to have some very practical applications on a daily basis. And I find that when you find sincere people with knowledge of the Scripture, you're going to find that really they start coming closer and closer together, really not being too far apart, because the principle coupled with the Holy Spirit, it works in our life. So I'd like to encourage us to develop some personal protocols of protection in our life. So why do you do that? Well, because the Scripture says, whether you eat therefore or drink therefore, do all. Whatever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. Whatever we do. And folks, if we can't be doing something to the glory of God, whether it's what we wear or where we go or what we listen to or what we watch, we need to observe some protocols of protection in our life. For some, it's the rule. What's the reason? What's the motivation? Some, it's the rule and they don't agree with it, but they follow it. Some rebel. For others, it's a choice. They see the danger. I don't have to use hand sanitizer. I don't have to wear a glove when I get pump my own fuel. But you know what? I recognize there's been so many people pass by there and touch that, you know, that's a choice because it's carefulness. They choose to not go with the crowd. So let me ask us, who's happier this morning? The person that's following the rule because they have to, or the person that says, you know what? I could do something different, but I see the value. I see the safety. I see that really, I look in how it's worked in others' life, and I see that's been a good way, and it's been a safe way, and I'm going to choose that. Which of those two people are happier? They're doing the same thing. You know, I want to caution God's people this morning, be careful about getting self-righteous about a holy lifestyle. I've seen people that they've got their dress just right and they are the most carnal, nitpicky, judgmental people, and it gives a bad name to modesty. And then people that don't want to do that say, see, they're look at their spirit. Well, they're both wrong. They're both wrong. The reason we do what we do is not because we have to. It's because I choose to live away the way that I do because I'm motivated by the love of God. Not because of a rule. You will chafe under the rule. But when you recognize yourself, the caution and the carefulness, it will cause something within you to want to establish in your life some protocols based on the Scripture of safety and carefulness. It is a personal choice. Our motivation this morning should go way beyond conformity to a group or to a rule, but we should be motivated by the love in our heart and the carefulness because the Lord has given me something so much. I've gone a little bit longer this morning than what I had planned or intended, but I'd like to conclude with one more scripture. Jesus said in John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. I don't want my people to just be off to themselves and to be isolated in their house. But Jesus prayed that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. So why do we live like we live? Why do the saints do what they do and don't do what they don't do? It's because a true child of God is motivated by love, not a rule of man. A true child of God is motivated by the holiness of Jesus Christ, and they are motivated to make daily decisions that I want to be safe. I want to be safe. So may the Lord bless each one of us this morning that we would establish some of these protocols of protection in our life. Amen.